Want to share, we are kind of wrapping up our series called From a Pastor's Heart, and we have a number of different scriptures that we're going to be looking at today, and so I'm just going to read them out loud here, and if you want to kind of put your little tabs in your Bibles or kind of have that on multiple tabs on your phones, you can do that. The first one's from the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 21. It says this: where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You've probably heard that one before. And the next one is from 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14. It says, but now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him the ruler of the people. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9 says this: for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Right? And then Acts 13, 22 says this: after removing Saul, he made David their king, and God testified concerning him, I have found David, this is God saying this, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. Let's pray. Holy and gracious God, may we hear your word this morning, and out of the abundance of our hearts, may our minds and our thoughts and our actions speak. God, may we be people after your heart, Lord God, above all else. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so the series we've been looking at, A Pastor's Heart, has been we've had three different sermons so far. The first sermon was about how God loves you and how important it is to recognize the deep, passionate love that God has for each and every one of us. The second message that we talked about that there is hope in times of trial. Amen. Amen, church? I mean, I don't know about you. I need that hope in times of trial, and I need that reassurance that God's promises are always there, and so that hope has got to be true for me. So we have hope in times of trial. Last week, we talked about how we need to have a singular focus on Jesus, and that his way, his direction, his path is the path that we as individuals and that us as a church and that as a community of churches that we need to follow, a singular vision to be focused on Jesus. And so today, it's been on my heart for a while to talk about how we can be people, men and women, after the heart of God. That when people see us, they see something different about us. They see something new about us, something unique about us, and that uniqueness, that understanding, is that we have our hearts following God's heart. Now, being a man or a woman after God's heart can be difficult at times, especially in a world in which we live. A world in which we are struggling with things, we are frustrated with things, we are angry with things. It's difficult to have the character of God. I don't know about you, but I have found it difficult in these last 6 months to maintain the character of God in every moment of every day. Can I get an amen on that? I tell you what, there have been moments where I have felt in these last 6 months that I have not been in the character of God, in which I have been angry, I have been frustrated, I have probably gossiped a little bit too much, I have probably said some things that I have not wanted to say that I wish I could take back. Yes? Anybody with me? Yeah. All right. Then there have been moments in these last 6 months that I believe I have exuded the character of God. And I'm not saying that to do a, hey, good job, Brian. I'm just saying there are moments in our lives in which we are going to move back and forth into the character and the understanding and the knowledge of God. And sometimes I pray that that's more of like a 90-10 split than what I have seen lately, which is a 90-10 split. You know, there are people who I have seen in this church who have exemplified the character of God, who are men and women after God's own heart. I mean, I think of Don and Keith, right? I think of people who are after God's own heart. When they have gone through what they've gone through over these last number of years, that they have continually sought God's best, continually preached God's word, continually shared God's love. I think of Mike and Nancy Sensenig, who in their relationship have sought after God's heart, who have sought them, even in the struggles that they have encountered, that they've shared with us, they have sought God's heart out. I think of the Crofts, I think of the Hostetters, I think of Dean and his family over these last 2 weeks who have revealed and shared the heart of God and what they have done. And as people who desire to be after the heart of God, friends, we are called to do better, to be better, to act better, to live better than the world around us, right? And I think Scripture really shares a lot about how we are to be people after the heart of God. You know, what kind of person are you going to be? Are you going to be people of this world who get upset and angry over every little thing? Are you going to find ways to speak truth and hope and love and be the heart of God in this world? You know, one of the most interesting Bible passages when considering a person's life or character is in Acts chapter 13. And here's Paul is preaching about Jesus, the son of David. However, in this message, he mentions the character of King David, right? Now, what do we know about King David? I'm going to see how I need a response here, okay? You ready for this? Who did King David kill? Goliath, good, okay. Sunday school job did its job. Way to go, all right? So David killed Goliath. David was also before he became king, what was he, anybody? He was a shepherd, right, exactly. And so we know about David. We know he rose up and he became a king. It was somebody that God called. Now, was David imperfect? Yes, he certainly was. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 7, one of my favorite verses of Scripture, Nathan said to David, "You are the man." That's what he says. Go look it up, 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 7. And he was talking about how David was, of course, having an affair and having lust after somebody else's wife, right? And so David was imperfect, right? Was he a sinner? Yeah, of course he was. Was he inconsistent with his faith? Yeah, he was. Guess what? I'm like that too. I guess it's that many of us in this room are like that. We're broken, fallen people. We are inconsistent in our faith. And here's what Paul's testimony of David was. He says, this is what God says, right? I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart who will do my will. What? Even after he's done all this other stuff, he's a man after God's own heart. And he goes on to say, for David, right, after he has served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep, which basically means he passed on. I hope that when I pass on, when I fall asleep, that I'm a person that people say, that was a man after God's own heart and he changed his generation. Do you feel that way? Do you hope that for your life? David is a man who fulfilled God's purpose in his life, a man after God's own heart. And in that way, he was not a perfect reflection of Jesus, but he worked really hard to live up to learning the very character and the very nature of God. And there are several commitments that I believe that we need to have that the Scripture talks about how we can be more like Jesus, how we can be men and women after God's heart. And so, friends, I just hope this morning that you will open up your heart and you will hear these things so that you too may become more like Christ, so that you will be men and women after God's own heart. Because I believe that if we are men and women after God's own heart, then he's going to use you in mighty and powerful ways. Amen? So throughout the Scripture, there's a number of things. First, we know that we are to know and meditate and obey God's word. It's extremely simple, right? David recognized the importance of knowing and doing God's word. See, he wrote these things. He said, they, being the word of God, is more precious than gold, he said. He said, much more than gold. He says, they are sweeter than honey. And you know, honey was like distilled, and it was like run through like sieves and all this other stuff, or whatever they call it, cheesecloth, whatever you want to call it. But he said it's much more. Honey is much more than that. It's sweeter than honey. It's even sweeter than the honey that you get right from the honeycomb itself, right? He says, by them, by the words of God, your servant is warned. And by keeping them, there's a great reward. Jesus also committed to living a life according to God's word. He was tempted by Satan, and when doing so, he says, it is written, man shall not live by what alone? By bread alone, but by the very word of God that proceeds from the mouth of God. And Jesus said that a wise person is one who hears the words of God and actually obeys them. See, Paul celebrated Jesus' humble obedience when he wrote this, let this be the mind in which you and also Christ Jesus have, who, being born from the very nature of God, didn't consider himself equal with God, but considered him a servant, becoming the very likeness of humanity. And being found in the appearance of men, he humbled himself to the obedient, to the point of death, even death on the cross. See, Jesus focused his whole life, everything that he was, to be like his Father in heaven. Every day, we are to live with a commitment of knowing and meditating and obeying God's word. And when we do that, the very nature of God dwells within us. Now, one of the things that I often see is that we love going to movies. Not now, unfortunately. We love going to movies, and we love playing video games, and we love reading books that perhaps we shouldn't read. And what I see a lot of times now is whether you're on Fortnite or whether you're on whatever, you know, Roblox, Caden loves Roblox. Well, no matter what you're on, you are going to be fed by what you invest yourself in. So if you're investing yourself in games, if you're investing yourself in movies, if you're investing yourselves in books that you shouldn't be reading, that begins to plant seeds within you that grow into things that are not of God. Okay, so that's the bad stuff in this world, right? But what he's saying here is that there's this really great thing, which is called the Bible. It's called the Word of God. And is created of different books that feed and nourish us and plant seeds within us. And so we can choose to have our seeds planted by the world, or we can choose to have the seeds planted by the scriptures. And friends, I don't know about you, I want to be planted by the scriptures. And so one of the things that we can do to be men and women after God's heart is to know and to meditate, and not just to know and meditate, what does it say? To obey God's word, to make sure that you're doing that. The second commitment that we need to have is to sacrificially show love and compassion to others. Continuing on with David, see, he demonstrates love and compassion through various ways throughout his life. Certainly, it's true when he serves Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth, one of the coolest names of the Bible. Mephibosheth. I think I want to name my next dog that, right? Mephibosheth. That's the worst thing. David's desire, he says this, "Is there still anyone left who is in the house of Saul that I may show kindness on Jonathan's sake?" And he says, "Is there still not someone in the house of Saul whom I may show the kindness of God?" See, David wanted to show kindness of God to those who he didn't even believe deserved it. He was willing to show compassion and kindness. Of course, Jesus exemplifies this, right, in every way of his life. Isaiah described it so well when he wrote this. "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, but when he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The punishment of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. He is oppressed and afflicted. He was like a lamb led to the slaughter." That's how Jesus sacrificially showed love and compassion to each of us. You notice it says, show love and compassion, but there's a way that we're supposed to do it. Do you see that? Sacrificially. Sacrificially showing love and compassion means that we are willing to do something beyond what we think we are capable of doing, that we are to give beyond what we think we are capable of giving, to help somebody who we think, you know, maybe we don't care for, we don't really appreciate it, but we are to sacrificially give to them. And to show that love and compassion to someone that we don't like, to someone that we don't care for, or to someone that we're struggling with, is going to go leaps and bounds in terms of how this world will perceive you as a man or a woman after God's own heart. If we are constantly serving others, if we are constantly walking alongside of others, if we are constantly supporting and encouraging other people in our lives, no matter where they are in their life, no matter how we might struggle with them, or how we might even struggle with ourselves and feeling what we feel about them, but if we can walk in a way that demonstrates sacrificially the love and compassion of Jesus, then we are people after God's own heart. All right. So we also show commitment to the heart of God when we live for God's glory. See, David often sang and reflected on the glory of God. Psalm 19, he proclaimed this, "The heaven declares the glory of God," really easy, and he concludes, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." See, he desired to live his life consistent with the glory of God. See, Jesus demonstrated his commitment to live in God's love and God perfectly. He prayed to his Father, "I have glorified you on earth, and I finished the work you have given me to do." And so, friends, as you have moments in your life, you are to live committed to doing the things that glorify God and not yourself. And And how difficult that is, right? Because we want to receive appreciation. We want to receive some of the notoriety there. But what if we all just did things that only glorified God, and we focused everything that we've done to glorify Him and to glory and to lift up one another? Paul says in 1 Corinthians, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. What if we were to live like that? What if we were to be men and women after God's own heart and did everything to glorify Him? Next, we are to continue to pray regularly. That seems like a pretty simple one to do, right? I mean, to have a heart after God's heart, you know, is to pray regularly, to communicate with God. We know that David prayed. Actually, every psalm, right, it was a prayer of David. It reflected his heart before God. Now, did he always say wonderful, uplifting, joyful prayers? Oh, no. Have you read the Psalms? Have you gone through them? There's some pretty nasty stuff in there. It's some pretty heavy stuff in there. He communicated his thinking and his emotions, his desires, his sorrows, his disappointments, and much more through that prayer. He repented, sought forgiveness, and expressed the joy of forgiveness through the Psalms, right? David prayed. I mean, Jesus also prayed, right, throughout his entire earthly ministry. He prayed to God. He talked to God. He communicated with God. He demonstrated prayer to his disciples, right? I mean, in Matthew chapter 6, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, right? He went often by himself alone to pray so that he could have that one-on-one time with his dad. And he prayed for his disciples in John 17. He prayed in his greatest moment of need when he was on the cross, right? Jesus was a man of prayer. Likewise, in order for us to be men and women after God's own heart, and there's a desire that we need to have a strong prayer life, we must be committed to prayer. And finally, we're to serve our generation well. And this is something that I've really been kind of having on my mind and heart lately. Certainly, Jesus served his generation well, and every generation before and after that, through the forgiveness of sin, and he provided salvation to all generations. And it says this in the book of Acts, therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sin, and by him everyone who believes is justified from all of those things. So for generations and generations, Jesus has been an impact. We should be eager to commit ourselves to serving our generation as well. Everything that we choose to do should be willing to serve our generation and to bring them closer to the transformative power of Jesus in this world. We need to seek creatively ways to serve those around us with love and with kindness. There's this past Wednesday, I got the date. I've been getting dates wrong in my head lately. I don't know. I think maybe it's been a whirlwind these last few weeks. But on Wednesday, there was a group who, very close to Michaela, some young adults and some family and friends and some people down to school who came to church on that night to welcome Michaela home from the hospital. We had gotten text updates all day about her coming and like the timing was there, and we sent out texts to a variety of different groups that kind of she's connected with here at the church. And everybody's like, yeah, we're going to be there. We're gonna show up. We're going to kind of support her as she's coming in. And so there's probably about like 75 to 100 people who were out, socially distanced, of course, right? No, we were all out kind of hanging outside in the portico out there. And it was absolutely amazing to see our family, our church family, out there ready to support her. And Dean had shared, as soon as they came around the corner, and she saw all the people, she just started weeping. And as she drove down the line of, sorry, I'm chuckling, because it was like she was at a prom, like, drive-by, you know, because as she was driving down, she was like, hello, people were handing her flowers and balloons, and as she was driving by, you could just see the overjoyed persona that she had at that moment, and you could see everybody around the car crying and smiling and just so excited that she had been on the brink of being with the Father in heaven, but then seeing the love that the Father has shown her in that space. And as the car stopped and they opened the door and she got out of the car and stood up, wow, you could see the miracle happening before us as she wrapped arms around others, as she shared well wishes with others and encouragement to others. Her life was lived in a bountiful way. And as I was standing there, I was kind of off to the side, and I was talking with a couple of people, and of course, tears in my eyes, I said, this is what it means to be a part of a faith community. This is what it means to be a part of a body of Christ who loves one another and who cares one another and who will walk through the yucky stuff with one another. So if this is your first time here and you've never found a church home, look no further. This is a place that loves you and cares for you and wants the best for you. And so we sat there and I looked at them and I said, this is what it means to be a part of a church. This is what it means to be encouraged and supported by a part of a church. But see, that wasn't the only thing. Dean shared with me later that as all of these people gathered, there was football happening down on the fields down there, and somebody came up and was like, what's going on? Like, what's happening? You know, it's people who want to be a part of it. They see something amazing happening. And they're like, what's going on? And the person responded, hey, somebody is just coming home from the hospital, and we wanted to show them the support that they needed because we almost lost her, and she is here standing right now. And they were absolutely blown away by the love and care of the people that were there. Friends, people after God's own heart do things like that. People after God's own heart surrender themselves to the very will and nature of God. And see, when God is searching this world for potential leaders, he's not searching for angels in flesh. He is certainly not looking for perfect people, because I know I'm not one. And he's searching for men and women just like you, just like me, mere people made of flesh. He's looking for people who want to share the same qualities that he found in David. He's looking for men and women after his own heart. So what does it mean to be a person after God's heart? It means your life is in harmony with God. What is important to him is important to you. What burdens him burdens you. When he says go right, which way do you go? You go right. When he says stop that in your life, what do? You stop it. When he says this is wrong and I want you to change, then you need to come to terms with what's going on, and you need to have a heart of God and change those things, and may he transform your life. And the bottom line, that is basic Christianity 101. We are to be people after the heart of God. You are deeply sensitive to spiritual things, seeking ways in which you can obey him and love him and care for others in there. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, for the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is his. No, it says completely his. I mean, what is God looking for? He's looking for men and women whose heart are completely his. And that means there's no locked closets. There's no deep, dark dungeons of your soul. There's nothing that can be swept under the rug. That means when you do wrong, you come to terms and you admit it. You long to please him with your actions. You care deeply about the motivations and actions of what you do, because you want everything that you do, everything that you say, be of the heart of God. He's looking for deeply spiritual, genuinely humble, honest to the core servants who have integrity. It's who you are when no one's looking. It's who you are when you're posting things on Facebook. There's been some cruddy stuff on Facebook. It's who you are when you're talking just with your friend. It's who you are when you're complaining about everything. It's who you are when you're trying to walk in this world. And it's who you are in your closet. Everything that we are is to be focused on being to the heart of God. Who fails at that? Everyone, from time to time. We're gonna miss the mark, but it's how we respond to that mark, it's how we live out of that mark, that really demonstrates if we truly have a heart of God. The world will say, you must make a good impression, and that's all that matters. But you will never be a man or woman of God if that's your philosophy, friends. Never, because you cannot fake it till you make it with the Lord Jesus. He is not impressed with our external stuff. He is always focused on the inward qualities that we have, the character and the heart that we portray. Those are things that take time and energy to cultivate. So do we want to change? That's the question this morning. Do we want to be men and women after God's own heart? Life change doesn't happen with one resolution or one change of behavior. Life happens moment by moment. Change happens with every situation, each circumstance, each decision, each opportunity, each instant. That's how life change happens. That's how transformation happens. And in those things, your life change because you have a foundational commitment that you wish to have the heart of God in your life. And that no matter where you are and who you talk to, when people come up to you, they see that you have something different, not of this world, and they will want that because they need it in their life. And you have the opportunity to share that heart with them. Let's pray. Holy and gracious God, we do thank you for this day. And we want to be people after your heart, Lord God. You know, Lord God, that we are going to falter and that we are going to fail and we are going to miss the mark at times. And a lot of people think that that's just a horrible thing to say, but it's a reality. But what I love about that, God, is that you are right there ready to pick us up and walk with us yet again. And so, God, if we truly have a heart after your heart, if we truly have a hope that's after your hope, if we truly have a love that is after your love, Lord God, then no matter what we do and no matter how we walk and no matter how we kind of mess up and trip over our own self, Lord God, we know that you are right there because you see our heart. Just like we talked about with King David, he's going to miss the mark, and he missed the mark. But God, you proclaimed, even in the midst of his cracked pot, that you see that he was a man after your own heart. And so God, for us here this morning, whether it's here in this room or online, Lord God, I really and truly pray that we are people after your heart. That every single thing that we say and every sideways look that we give and every gossip that we say are wiped clean so that we can be people who are seen in this world as people who love you first and foremost, and that everything we say, everything we do, every action that we make demonstrates the transformation of Christ in our life. God, we pray that, and we hope that, and we proclaim that in the name of the one who gives us life in abundance, Jesus the Christ. And all God's people said, amen.